What a gracious God you are. What a kind God you are. What a good God you are. Lord, we bless you, Lord. We thank you. We give you praise. Blessed be your holy name, Jesus. To you and you alone be the glory. Thank you. Thank you. Now, with a loud voice, go ahead and bless him in the spirit. Go ahead and bless him in other tongues. Give him praise. Revodosa kika athron jadabande veletigas koramande hashanda bababara katala itanamando felediata. So say la anko kekeliata nangos keirato shadabai. Shaba baba barakatala haya. Kanzosta prabala digos. Aklotemento brebebetos tala andi. We give you praise and we thank you. Blessed be your holy name, Jesus. We worship you, we adore you. For the many miracles, the many testimonies, we thank you. For the many victories, we give you praise. For the many interventions, seen and unseen, we give you praise. For your goodness over this house, Lord, we thank you. For your kindness towards your servants over this house, Lord, we praise you. We thank you for revelation that flows from this altar always. We thank you for the testimonies of healings, the miracles, Lord, the testimonies of life change that emanates from this house, Lord. We return the praise to you today. We give you glory and we give you praise. Lord, we believe with all of our hearts that this is the beginning of a new phase. We believe with all of our hearts that this is the beginning of a new day. Lord, we believe that this conference heralds a new season. Amen. And Father, we decree and we declare that all through this conference, let your word come to us. Let light come to us. Lord, show us exactly what you're doing. Help us align with what you're doing. And Father, you alone and you alone will receive the glory, the honor, and the praise for all this. We give you the praise. And all God's people said a big amen.
Amen.
Come on, with a big voice, shout a big amen, amen,
amen, amen.
Now, can I ask you a question? How many of you came here with buckets to receive from the Lord? Anybody like that? How many of you came with tanks to receive from the Lord? How many of you came with hose? You know hose. You just connect it and just let it keep flowing. You see, God is inexhaustible. It is how much we can receive, how much we can take. Is inexhaustible is how much we can receive, how much we can take. And I come here knowing full well that the Lord has you in mind, knowing full well that your life will never remain the same again. Everyone is living with testimonies and with miracles in the name of Jesus. I want you, with a loud voice, with your hands jammed together, celebrate your pastors, Reverend Elijah and his beautiful wife. Come on, come on. You can do better than that. Celebrate the grace of God on their lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Men who stand for the word and who stand for the things of God should be celebrated. Who labor in doctrine over you, labor in secret place over you, should always be held in the highest honor. And I want to encourage you, don't just see them as your pastors, but men sent from God to you. If God will change your life, he will send you men. And I believe that God had Nasarawa in mind, so he sent them here. Hallelujah. And so please receive them with all of your heart. All, I mean, so much that they carry for you. And I trust God that we will not take lightly and be familiar with the grace that they carry. Hallelujah. I believe one or two ministers of the gospel are in the house. Let's appreciate them. I can see Pastor Victor there. And let's celebrate them. Thank you again, Reverend. Thank you for inviting me again. Thank you for the honor of being here. I don't take it lightly.
It's an honor. It's a privilege to stand before God's people. And I don't take it lightly. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Are we ready tonight?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready to go into the Word of God? We're going to look into scriptures tonight and trust God that we will end up in a Holy Ghost party.
Yes,
glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Please, you may have your seats. God bless you. Hallelujah. What is the name of this conference? Come and talk to me. Faith Life Conference. So there is a faith life. All right, say with me, there is a faith life. And the faith life is the life that God has called us to live. There's a faith life. It says, Habakkuk chapter 2, the fourth verse, the just shall live by faith. So there's a faith life that God has called us to live. And I'm excited that this entire conference is devoted to the subject of faith. Now, there are different aspects of faith, just like you have different aspects of geology, different aspects of medicine, and all the rest. There are different aspects of faith, and the focus for this conference is receive. Receive. I saw the theme, and I was thoroughly excited. You see, because there is what is called the art of receiving. Receiving is an art. And I'm hoping, trusting the Lord, that from tonight into tomorrow morning, we'll be able to look into different aspects of the subject and by God's grace, answer the questions in your hearts. And more importantly, answer the contradictions in your life. What do I mean by the contradictions? There are things that are most assuredly believed by many people, but not much of that is seen in their lives. And you see, the challenge with it is this, is that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. No matter how much you love the Lord, no matter how much you're excited about God, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. At some point, you start asking, this thing I've believed, how true is it? How true is it? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ can be substantiated. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is not just a profession, it is a manifestation. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is like a coin that has two sides. On one side is, go ye, tell them, preach the gospel. On the other side, this sign shall follow them. In essence, it's not the complete gospel if all we have is a profession. There must be manifestations, demonstrations of the things that we have believed. The true message of the gospel can be substantiated. It should be seen, not just heard. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It should be seen, not just heard. When the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, and Peter was giving his homily there, trying to explain the things that have happened there, he said, that which you have seen and heard. So when the Holy Ghost came, they saw something, and they heard something. Are you following what I'm saying here? When Luke was going to put to hand to write about the things that Jesus did, Acts chapter 1, he said the things that he began both to do and to teach. So it's not a complete gospel if it's only taught. It must be done. It must be demonstrated. Now, please listen up. I didn't come here as a fantastic conference speaker. No. I didn't come here because it was convenient at all. No. I came here because I was sent by God. I came here because somebody is going to leave this conference with all the answers that you need.
Yes, sir.
Your pastor said he came in the fullness of the gospel. He may have been quoting scripture under the inspiration of the Spirit, but that is completely true. Haven't prayed. I know full well that somebody is going to hear something. Somebody is going to receive something that generations yet unborn will feed from.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Can I tell you something? Our lives are not changed over time. Our lives are changed in moments.
Yeah.
Moments like this. It's not over time. Change does not happen over time. Victory does not happen over time. No, it happens in moments. Moments like this. Would they have believed in the upper room that casual moment of waiting upon the Lord is what the entire Pentecostal church, the entire body of Christ will be hinged on? If you had told Peter that this preaching you are preaching now, this upper room meeting, will translate into Reverend Elijah being in Nasarawa. Thousands upon thousands of years later, he may not have been able to believe it. But you see, I believe very strongly that that same Holy Spirit is in this room today. And he's doing such a work that generations yet unborn will feed from. Are you listening to what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Thank God, and I'm glad that the theme of the conference is receive. So, I mean, what best to teach than to show you how to receive all that God has for you? Tell the person beside you, tonight I am receiving.
All that God has for me.
Let's start by saying that faith has no respect for persons. It has no respect for location. It has no respect for pedigree nor genealogy. Are you listening to what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Many a times in the practice of our faith, we believe but we have excuses and reasons why. You know, the reason this may not work is because if I were born into that kind of family, if I had this kind of exposure, if I had that kind of, if I were in such a place and such a place, if I knew such and such a person, faith eliminates all of that completely. Are you listening to what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
So we have to start out from that, listen, if we're talking about the faith life, we're talking about a life that cannot be held down by seeming human inadequacies. You may say, oh, maybe if I were the child of so and so, then my life will be better. Maybe if I were this, if I were that. You know, one day, Reverend Elijah, the Lord took me on a journey through Hebrews chapter 11. And then he began to ask me, what was special about everyone listed in Hebrews 11? Absolutely nothing. What was special about Noah? Was there any special birth to Noah? What was special about Abraham? In fact, in describing himself, Moses describing Abraham in the Titus confession, he says, I was a Syrian. Your father was a Syrian ready to perish. What a pedigree. How can a Syrian ready to perish be the father of many nations? Maybe there's a Nasarawan ready to perish. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Maybe there's a Nasarawan now here who is saying, listen, if you know my condition, you understand, all this thing you are saying won't be the matter. He said he was a Syrian ready to perish. And today we all call ourselves children of Abraham, the father of all nations. I don't care if you're ready to perish. I don't care with your pedigree or anything. There's something about faith that changes our story. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? So we are not dealing with light matter. We're not dealing with theory. We're dealing with something that works. Are you listening to what I'm saying here?
Yes,
so let's eliminate all those. If I were here, maybe if I were there. No. From where you are right now.
Yes,
are you listening to what I'm saying here?
Yes,
within that circumstance where you are, light will shine forth.
Yes.
Reverend, the Lord said to me, and I was sharing with our brethren, he says that God who called the light to shine out of the darkness, not over the darkness, out from where you are, there's light. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying? No. Archbishop said that a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in London. No. It's not jackpot that makes men. It's faith that makes men. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying? God called the light to shine out. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It says, and the light shineth not over. The light shineth in the darkness. So it is right where you are. Are you listening to what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Stop thinking that, oh, maybe this should change or that should change. No. The beauty of the story is that nothing seemed to have changed. But all of a sudden, people are wondering, I thought I knew that girl. I thought I knew that man. I thought I knew that person. I thought I knew that person. Hear me and hear me well. I bring you word from the throne of grace. The God who called light to shine out of darkness. Now, it's an interesting thing. It should have been beautiful if he said he has called light to shine out of our darkness. No. He didn't call the light to shine out of the darkness. He himself has shone in your heart. If light shone out of darkness, Genesis chapter 1, and you saw creation the way we saw it, how much more
when God shines out of your heart. I bring you word from heaven. This is not your best. This is not your end. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying?
Yes,
this is not your best. And this is not what? Your end. I'm telling you what I know. I don't know what you know, but I'm telling you what I know. You are not the one invited to preach. I was invited, so God will speak to me.
Yes,
I'm telling you what I have heard. This is not your best.
Yes.
This is not your end.
Yes,
is somebody listening to what I'm saying here?
Yes,
I'm telling you what I've heard of the Lord. This is not your best. Believers do not lack, but I believe for the most part that where people lack the most is in the second part, where we have not been trained on the art of receiving, how to actively take. Are you still here? The other word there is lambano, which means to, it's an active, aggressive verb, to lay hold of, to receive into action, or to use. So the gap in people's lives many a times is not that they did not believe, because believing is the first step of receiving. But it's not all. There is a second step of receiving, which is the active taking. And until we are taught this other part, we will have genuine Christians who are very kind-hearted and good-hearted, yet you'll find out that their lives is far from what the Word of God says. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Are you still here tonight?
Yes, sir.
Are you still here tonight?
Yes, sir.
Remember the prophet who went into the house of the woman. Please stay with me here. And then it was actually the woman that called the prophet. They said, this prophet that is always going here, let's get a room for him. She furnished a room and she did all of that. What did she do there? She received the prophet. But do you realize she was still barren? So you can receive a prophet in the name of a prophet that first half and still be in your condition. When did her story change? When the prophet said, what is it that this woman wants? And then when she spoke the word and took, he spoke the word and she took the word, which is the active receiving, what happened? She had a child. Now, you know the prophet could have lived there for 3 years. Nothing would have changed about her story. And somebody will go on Twitter and write, all these men of God use people. You can imagine that she turned her house to hear Airbnb for the man of God and nothing changed in her life. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you realize that when the widow of Zarephath, when she met the prophet, what was the first thing she said? Prophet, she literally honored him as a prophet. What does that mean? To receive in the name of a prophet. But did her story change by that? No. When did her story change? Go and cook me something with this thing that is left. When she acted upon it, that's when her story changed. Can I tell you something? Loving Jesus and receiving him as Lord is not enough to change your story. Oh, no, it's not. It's not. There are too many people that love the Lord and are in poverty. There are too many people that love the Lord and are on the sick bed right now. Are you getting what I'm saying here? There are too many people who will tell you, I believe in the word of God. Come on. In fact, the way to just settle this matter, James said it. He said, even devils believe and they tremble. You know, they hear the name of Jesus, they tremble at it, they believe that he's the Son of God, but they can't confess him as Lord, which is the active taking. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? So the difference many a times in the experience of people is how trained they are in receiving. That's the essence of this conference. Training us to be receivers. Training us to be receivers. Unfortunately, the church is training you to be doers. It's about doing. You do this and you do that. You do this, you do that. You see, if you're doing without the mindset of a receiver, it's all going to be legalism. Okay. Let me help us understand this in a simpler way. How many of us believe in giving? Can I see your hands? You believe in giving? How many of you believe? You genuinely believe in it as God's system for your prosperity. Can I see your hands? Kingdom system for prosperity. You know, there are believers who don't believe it. They say, blah, 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 no address. You believe it. Okay. Now, do you know why we give? You see, because you can be doing the action. If you don't have the revelation behind it, you don't get the result. The essence of giving in the kingdom is to give corresponding action to a truth you have believed. Only wealthy people can give. If you don't have something in abundance, logically you don't give it. Oh, come on now. Let's go the other way. If you're sick, Ken Hagin was dying on the sick bed. He said he knew in his body that he was healed. He was declaring from Mark that I'm healed, faith, and all the rest and all the rest. And then the Holy Spirit said to him, he said, people who are healed are not lying in bed at this time. Get up if you are healed and give corresponding action to what you have believed. Now, if I believe that Christ was made poor for me, that I through his poverty might be made rich, if I believe that he has made all grace abound towards me, so that I in all sufficiency may abound unto every good work, if I believe that that scripture is true, irrespective of my condition, irrespective of my pocket, it means I will have no issue whatsoever to give whatever it tells me to give. So I am not giving to be rich. I'm giving because I'm rich. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Now, that giving becomes my action. It's my active taking of what is mine. Are you still here tonight?
Yes, sir.
Let's look at a few scriptures here so that we don't jump the gun. And everybody has the foundational basis here. Look at Matthew very quickly, chapter 8 and verse 14. I want us to see a story there. Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. Glory to God. Now look at what it says. It says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had, come on, talk to me. The word is dekomai, has dekomai'd the word of God. They believed it. They welcomed it. They accepted it to be true. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now it says, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now this is powerful. They had received, believed, welcomed the word of God. And then the apostle said, there's something still lacking. This thing that they have believed, there should be something we should be seeing in their lives. Are you following what I'm saying? So what did the apostles do as a response? They sent Peter and John. Now look at the next thing they did. Who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might lambano the Holy Ghost. How many of you have read where Paul wrote to Timothy and it says, lay hold on eternal life? Now, did they have eternal life? Yes. You know that word lay hold there is epilambano. It's still the same word. In essence, you already have it on the inside of yourself, but you are not experiencing it because you have not laid hold upon it. So they sent them and he says, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might lambano, take actively the Holy Ghost. Next verse. For as yet he was falling upon none of them, only they that were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Next verse there. Everybody want to go. Then they laid their hands on them and they received, they lambanoed the Holy Ghost. Now let's use this as a case study. How did they lambano it? How did they lambano him, the Holy Ghost? How did they lambano? He says they received the Holy Ghost. How did they know they had received the Holy Ghost? I mean, if I had the Holy Ghost before, because you can't be saved without the agency of the Spirit. So they already had the Holy Ghost on the inside of them. So when hands were laid upon them and the Bible says they received the Holy Ghost, what was it? It meant they must have seen something that made them qualify them as people that have received the Holy Ghost. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? Which means at this point, did they have the Holy Ghost? Yes. But they were not said to have received the Holy Ghost, even though they had the Holy Ghost. Then we come to this side, after hands were laid upon them, and they said they received the Holy Ghost. There was something they saw about them, and they said, because of this, they have received the Holy Ghost. Which means everything Jesus did on the cross, there is one part of it that is embedded in your spirit. And there's a point you get to in your life, we say, this person has received prosperity. That's not to say you were never rich. That's not to say you were not made wealthy from the beginning. The moment you got saved, you became wealthy. But there's something that must be done to cross over to this side. So they saw something. They heard them speaking in tongues. They said, these ones have received the Holy Ghost. Now go to Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. You're studying that portion of the scripture there. The Bible says, can I have Acts 2 verse 1? Are you still here today?
Yes, sir.
When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Verse 2, look at this. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Hold on. Do you realize that verse 1 to verse 3 is all God did? Rushing mighty wind, who brought it? God. Cloven tongues of fire, who put it on their head? God. So from verse 1 to verse 3, as far as God was concerned, they had the Holy Ghost. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, but look at verse 4. He says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Say with me, and. Who filled them with the Holy Ghost? God. And began to speak with other tongues. Who spoke with tongues? Them. Is somebody getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
I've laid hands on people. I remember years ago, one time I laid hands on a lady to be filled with the Holy Ghost. She fell under the power. I said, that's not the corresponding action to this. The corresponding action to this is to open your mouth and speak. So the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you know if they did not open their mouths to speak, they would still have been filled with the Spirit, but there will be what? No manifestation of what they carried. So you have believers who are carrying the full complement of the cross, but no external manifestation of it. Now, please lift your right hand towards heaven. Say this, I refuse to be poor.
I refuse to
say
be
this,
poor.
I refuse to be sick.
I refuse to be
say
sick.
This, my situation, my circumstance, my location is not my destiny. The word is my destiny. I was in the car, Reverend, with a couple of my people in the car, and we're driving, and the word of the Lord fired into my spirit. The Lord said to me, he said, poverty must be fought with everything inside you. I'm not saying you are believing for just some provision and all the rest. No, no. Let me define poverty and let me define prosperity to you. Between poverty and prosperity is one word, is the word choice. Poverty takes your choice, your power to choose. You can't choose what school your children should go to. It tells you what school they should go to. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying? You can't choose what kind of car you should drive. It tells you what kind of car you should drive. Somebody says, are you saying that we should be able to choose? Oh, yes. The first gift of God to man was the power to choose. Now, can I tell you something powerful? The first gift that was redeemed back was the power to choose. The Bible says Jesus shed his blood, not first at the cross. It was at the Garden of Gethsemane. And what was he doing there? Not my will, but yours. The first thing Jesus redeemed by his blood was the power to choose. Which means never again are we brought under the bondage of Satan. We can choose what we want. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying here? Please and please, let's wake up to what is available to us.
Yes,
not just, you know, I got this issue, I got that, I got this, I got that. No. It's time to be angry with this life.
Yes,
it's time to be angry. He says that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Can I ask you a question? Are you the righteousness of God?
Yes,
now, how come sin has dominion over you? Because there's a receiving where you welcome and favorably accept it to be true. And there's a receiving where you stand your ground to say, sin shall have no dominion over me. Can I ask you a question? Is the Lord your shepherd?
Yes, sir.
How come you are still wanting? Can I ask you a question? Has he made all grace abound towards you?
Yes, sir.
How come there is no all sufficiency showing in your life? The first thing you must learn is this. Your situation does not determine the truth. You know, because that's the challenge. Satan begins to deceive people to say, well, if this is not happening in my life, maybe it's not true. No, 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 absolutely not. I hope you know that all the watches in the world, all the clocks in the world are calibrated to one clock.
Amen.
Say this, I believe the word of God.
I believe the word of God.
Are you still here? Are you still here? So the Bible says, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, rushing mighty wind, cloven tongues as of fire. He filled them with the Holy Ghost and they began. So this receiving is an action you must take. Is somebody following what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
It is an action you must take, and therein lies the change. There are things I want to say tonight, and I really hope that we're able to get into it. It's an aggressive action, a verb, something that must be done. The major reason you have a gap between what people have believed and what they have seen in their lives is because they have not learned the art of receiving. Now, Reverend, till we leave the face of the earth, we are students in the school of receiving.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because how we received in one situation is not how we receive in another situation.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. One day I said to the Lord, you know, I've shared my testimony about how God broke me out of wants and everything and all the rest. And I remember after a time of enjoying it, the Lord began to give me certain instructions and assignments. And sincerely speaking, God bearing me witness, what somebody would have said, my God, if God just did this for me, my life is made forever. I began to, and I don't want to call anything or anything and all dress, because we're all at different levels. And sometimes in sharing these things, people get more depressed than inspired. Glory to God. One day I went to Canaan land, I saw the choir members. I looked at the person beside me, I said, even choir is more than our church. What shall we do to this matter? I almost left depressed. I said, look at choir. The whole church, if you put it together, it's not half of the choir. At the time, years ago. So I'm not going to share figures, but I'm talking about good stuff. Are you getting what I'm saying? Good stuff. I mean that I would rejoice and say, my God, look what God has done. Blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, I found out that it couldn't do what God wanted me to do. You see, because there are different stages of the assignment.
Yes, sir.
There are different levels and levels to this thing.
Yeah.
The problem many a times is that we get stagnated at a level because we don't realize that today God will use a brook, tomorrow he will use a widow.
Yeah. Yes,
is somebody getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
that the art of receiving, this is where the problem comes in. The art of receiving requires active walking with God. It's not a formula, it's a life. It's not a formula. It's not 1 + 1 = this. No. 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 The way we brought water out of the rock the first time is not how we'll bring it out again. The way Elijah crossed the Jordan is not the way Elisha will cross the Jordan. The way Moses parted the Red Sea is not the way Joshua will part the Jordan. Same God, but different actions. And here is the gap, Reverend. Many have heard the testimonies and the messages of others, favorably welcomed it, but lacked the work to give them those instructions, those directives that are unique to them. I heard Brother Hagin tell the story. Secretary Copeland came to Rema campus several years ago in the 80s. And Copeland said, you know, I've given out cars. And then he was giving. And so students, all the students began to give their cars out. Is it a beautiful thing to give? Yes. Until one of the students came back and said, I need my car. He said, I've given this thing. This thing is not coming. This thing is not flowing. It's not flowing. You can imagine, Copeland said they were read in depth. Their media ministry was read in depth. Now listen to these stories, these two stories. Read in depth and address. He went to God. He said, God, what is the problem? God said, look at every other area of the ministry. You have excess and abundance. The only area you are in debt is the media ministry. He said, God, why? He said, you gave me the care of all these areas. He said, but you always carry the care of the media department. In 1 week, almost $3 million was paid. Now, they were in debt at another time. He went to God. God said something else. Show me it's a walk. Come on, show me it's a walk. Show me it's a life. And God said to him, he said, listen, he said, the way I commanded you to give the tithe of the ministry is not how you have been giving it. He said, your givings in other areas is so strong that it has taken this time for your disobedience to catch up. Somebody will hear that and say, okay, so let me do the arrangement. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
We all believe the message of prosperity, but to one, he will say, cast your net to the right side of the deep. Are you following what I'm saying? To another, he will say, bring the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, let's multiply it. The lambano aspect requires a walk. That's why faith is not a formula. Is somebody still here tonight?
Yes, sir.
And I can tell you that for free, this is where many have missed it. The walk part. We want to say, I believe I receive it. I believe I receive it. I believe I receive it. The moment you say, I believe I receive it, there's an instruction that will come. And it's in instructions we take. Did you hear what I said? It is in instructions. He says, when your obedience is complete, he shall avenge all what? Disobedience. I know I've jumped the gun tonight, but I mean, I believe somebody's heart is just hungry to hear the truth of God's word. So you have asked, I've been doing all these things they say we should do. I've not seen results. I'm showing you the link, the missing link. That the journey of faith, the walk of faith. Can I tell you something? There is the word of faith. Are you following what I'm saying? There is the walk of faith. Are you following what I'm saying? And there is the spirit of faith. What most people are stuck with is the word of faith. I believe I receive. I believe I receive. And that's beautiful. But after you have believed and you have received, there's a walk you have to go. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, that walk comes what? In fellowship and communion with the Lord. Are you still here?
Yes,
say with me tonight, I receive
all that is mine
in the name of Jesus. Come and say it again.
I receive
all that is mine
in
the name of Jesus.
So
he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12, he says, lay hold on eternal life. I'm saying to somebody here, lay hold on your prosperity. I'm saying to somebody here, lay hold on your healing. I'm saying to somebody here, lay hold on your wisdom. You have it, but you have to lay hold on it. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? Please, is there anybody here who is comfortable and okay with where they are? Can I see you and just wave at me? You're okay, this is fine. Is there anybody who knows there is more ahead of them? Can I see you? Now say this,
I lay hold
on eternal life. Come on, with a loud voice,
I lay hold
on my prosperity. Say this, I refuse to be poor. Say this, I lay hold on divine life. I lay hold on divine healing. I lay hold on divine health. Shout it, I refuse to be sick.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
So we established that the first half is a passive thing. It is you acknowledging and agreeing to the truth. That's what decomai means. Is that expression you have when you hear the word and you go, wow, thank you, Jesus. That's what decomai means. But that's not what's going to bring you into the fullness of it. Now, let me give you a four-step approach to lambano. And I'll close on this tonight. To aggressively lay hold on what is ours. A four-step approach to lambano. Which means these four things must be in place before you can walk in the reality of anything promised. Number one. You must have what is called a revelation of ownership. Faith does not give you what you don't have. Faith manifests what you have. Please write that down and never forget it. Faith does not give you what you don't have. Can I tell you something? By this definition, many are not in faith. By this definition, what many call faith is not faith. It's pure mental assent. Faith is not you trying to get what you don't have. Faith is you giving manifestation to what you have. All right, Let's use one or two scriptures to explain what I mean by this. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance. If you read that in the English, you don't get the full sense of it. You read it in the interlinear Bible or from the Greek directly. It reads, now faith is the substantiation, which means you are giving substance to something that is already present. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Do you know that there's a way we will cool the room in this place and water will start dropping?
Yes, sir.
Is water floating in this place? No, I mean, right now, is it there in the air? Can you touch it? No. Is it a reality? Yes. Is it an experience? No. So when we condense the air and water starts dropping, did we create the water?
No.
Did we go to get water?
No.
We only gave substance to what was there.
My God.
So faith is not you trying to fetch what you don't have. Now, lift your right hand towards heaven and say this, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Come on, say this, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many of us are in Christ Jesus? Come on now, how many of us are in Christ Jesus? How many spiritual blessings are you blessed with? All, not some. Come on, talk to me, how many? Come on, talk to me. How many? Oh, not some. Not some. Not some. We have it.
Yes, sir.
My God. I said we have it. Faith is misplaced when you are using it to look for what you have. You can never find what you have by looking for it. Looking outside, oh God. Let money come to me. You know why I have to start from this foundational basic? Because once your ideology and your revelation of the subject is wrong, then your pursuit will be wrong and you never get the best results. I am not trying to be wealthy. I am giving expression to my wealth. I can have a pain in my body. I am not trying to be healed. A million times no. Romans 8:11. He asked a rhetoric question. If we know that it's not if, because he already dwells. If the spirit of him that raised the Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies. Can I ask you a question? Does he dwell?
Yes.
Now, if we answer the if question, what is the result? He shall vitalize, quicken. The word quicken there is zoopoesis, which means a factory of life. A factory of life, like Kanji Dam, giving power.
Yes, sir.
So the Holy Ghost is on the inside of me as a factory of Zoe. My God. My God. How can I be poor? How can I be broke? How can I be sick? How can cancer stand in the body? How can I have a migraine? How can I have a pain? My God. My God. My God. True faith starts with a revelation of ownership.
Yes, sir. Ownership.
We are not trying to own. We own.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So our journey of faith is not trying to own it. Please sit down. Let me show you some chicken pepper soup from Romans chapter 4. Or is it shawarma you like? I don't know if you've ever seen a scripture, a verse, and you're like, oh my God. Oh my God. My great spoil. You are like, what on earth is this? Let me show you something powerful. Romans chapter 4. And we'll come back to this. Say with me, the revelation of ownership.
The revelation of ownership.
You cannot lambano if it is not yours. You're a thief. If you forcefully take what is not yours, we can take you to the court of law. It's only thieves that forcefully take what is not theirs. But we can forcefully take what has been possessed by another that is ours. This lambano we are talking about, this receiving, starts with a revelation of ownership. Yes, Romans chapter 4. Is somebody getting anything tonight?
Yes, sir.
Now it's called the hearing of faith. He that ministered the Spirit to you and worked miracles by you, amongst you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So when you're hearing faith like this, miracles are being worked.
Yes, sir.
If somebody listens to what I'm saying, you're going to get back home and find out that everything has changed.
Yes, sir.
You know why? You have changed. Glory to God. Romans chapter 4. Let's see this powerful scripture here from verse 16. Goodness gracious. Goodness gracious. I feel like tearing my clothes. Just the thought of what I'm about to read. My God. You know those scriptures that just get you intoxicated? Like you are on palm wine or alcohol, 75%. You know those that drink alcohol, I don't understand them. If you drink the word, tonight they will carry some of you home. I'm telling you, drunk on the word. Drunk. You know why? Because we are inside out people. If God can change what we are seeing inside, everything begins to change outside. Look at what it says. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not now, say with me, all the seed. How many?
All.
Not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Does that include us?
Yes, sir.
Good. Everybody read verse 17. Want to go? As it is written. Hold on. As it is written, I will make you. Let me just help you very quickly. It was not written. At the time, it was God that said it. But by this time, Paul was trying to show us the process of faith. That because they did not have the canon of scriptures at the time. The process of faith is we must find it is written. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because it is written is what shows us what we have, not what we are trying to have. Are you following this here? So we don't wake up with a fantastic vision of ourselves. No. As it is written, he was made poor that I might be made rich. Is he written? That's who I am. Now, please follow this spiritual dynamic here. Powerful dynamic. He says, as it is written, I have made you, even while he was yet barren. No child as at yet. I know you have bills to pay, but I have made you rich.
Yes, sir.
It's written.
Yes, sir.
He says, before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead, and collect those things which be not as though they were, you love the next verse. Verse 18. Come on now. Everybody read it again with me. Want to go? Who against hope believed in hope that he might become. Hold on. You're rushing. This is the problem. You're rushing. I have made you that you might become. So what is the essence of faith? To help you become what you are. I have made you. He has made you rich. Faith helps you become rich. In between those two statements is the journey of faith. I have made you. This is who you are. Faith starts with a revelation of ownership. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
You are not the barren seeking a child. You are the father of many nations manifesting your nations.
Yes, sir.
There's a difference.
Yes, sir.
If you can win this battle, you have won the battle of faith. That there are bills staring at you and you are laughing. I am the wealthy in Christ Jesus. Wealth and riches are in my house. Glory to God. Glory to God.
I'm a blessed man.
You know when you say wealth and riches are in my house?
Yes, sir.
You might have a text message showing you how much bills there are to pay.
Yes, sir.
But text message does not change what he has made you. So with me,
he has made me
a blessing to nations.
A blessing to
Say this,
I'm not a local champion.
My voice shall be heard in the nations. Say this, the nations are open unto me. Come on, rejoice.
Give him praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Please sit down for a bit. Please sit down for a bit. Now, do you see that journey of faith? I have made you. We cannot become till we know we have been made. Pastor, what has he made you? Brother and sister, what has he made you? When we find what we have been made from the word, then we start our journey of faith to become it. So Lambano starts with a revelation of ownership. Can I give you another scripture? Please, we may be seated briefly. Can I give you another scripture that's just going to just bless you tremendously? Matthew 25, 29. Jesus mentioned this twice in the book of Matthew. Powerful scripture. Everyone that hath shall be given. Oh, this is a law of the kingdom. Until you have, we don't give you. My whole being is drunk on the word tonight. Until you have, we don't give you. The converse is what you have is what we give you more of. I am sick, take more. I am broke, take more. For the law of the realm of the spirit is that what you have, more of it will be added to you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
So somebody is giving, I want to break the backbone of poverty. I'm coming out of poverty. You were never poor. You were never poor. You were never poor. That's where this thing has to start from. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
This is why many people are doing the right thing but not getting the results. For everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. And from him that hath not, the semblance of which, you get to what I'm saying? It will be taken from him. Please show me, I have prosperity.
I have prosperity.
You are driving on the road, your car does grrr, grrr, boom. And you come out of the car, you say, oh God, where will I have money enough to buy? No, 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 no. No, no, I'm a wealthy man taking a stroll. Now, you know, when we talk like this, sometimes people think that we're just trying to be, you know, nice. We're trying to paint things nice. No, let me show you from scriptures how powerful this is. It was not the day the oil came upon David's head that he has sat on the throne. Now, but what day did he become king? Oh, yeah. Now you're thinking. What defined kings in the Old Testament? The anointing of a prophet. So what day did David become king? The day he was anointed. Did he sit on the throne immediately?
No, sir.
So David was in the field, shepherding sheep.
Yes,
but he was a king.
Yes, sir.
Some of you are still in the field, shepherding sheep. Don't allow the sheep make you forget the people.
My God.
Don't allow the rod make you forget the throne.
My God.
You're on a journey.
Yes, sir.
That we might become.
Yes,
becoming
sir.
Is a process.
Yes, sir.
It's a journey.
Yes, sir.
We may not look like it right now, but we must keep it as true.
Yes, sir.
I believe I'm the king.
I believe I'm the king.
But sir, you are in the wilderness. Oil is on my head.
Yes.
But sir, it's only sheep and goat. Man, we are seeing. You forget it. It's a matter of time.
Yes, sir.
I'm working on this.
Yes,
is somebody getting what I'm saying here?
Yes,
you may wear the same shoe to church day and night. And everybody's wondering, where's the prosperity you're talking about?
Yes,
tell them I'm working on it.
I'm working on it.
You don't believe you are king the day you sit on the throne. Is the day the oil comes on your head. Can I announce to you? You have an anointing from the Holy One. That anointing abides and dwells on the inside of you. If the oil made by man could make David king, how much more the oil of the Spirit? I refuse to be poor. I refuse to be broke. I refuse to be sick. I am royalty. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Sit down for a bit. My pastor, he's late now, of blessed memory, gave my heart to Christ under his ministry, raised me in ministry, was very close friends with Bishop David Oyedepo. They were in the same fellowship. Bishop Oyedepo was the president of the fellowship. He was the evangelism coordinator at the time. And we were talking one day. He said, don't let anybody tell you that this man just started talking like this. He said, the bishop in those days had one dashiki. How many? One dashiki. Agbada. If you know what dashiki is, agbada. With one sandal, not shoe. He said, I don't remember him wearing shoe. He said, he will come into the fellowship. You know dashiki? He will roll the dashiki around. He will say, I am wealthy. I am rich. My pastor said, they used to look at him and they will laugh. He said, even him that was evangelism coordinator used to laugh. Which wealthy? He's the same sandal. He's the same dashiki he has made that I might become. He has made me. What I have been made is not seen to the eyes right now. My faith will make it seen. So number one is the revelation of what? Ownership. You are not trying to own, you own. You are not trying to have, you have. You are not trying to be, you are. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? I have no sense of lack. No sense whatsoever. Reverend, I stand here before God, knowing that I'm standing before the precious saints of God. I have never struggled with the Lord on any seed. I don't remember the last time. I am too rich to think a seed is too big. You know when the Lord broke that thing for me? The Lord said to me, I remember, this was years ago, I just sold my car. I just bought a car. I still remember the figures exactly. I drove it for 4 days, Reverend Mrs. And the Lord spoke to, I was in a meeting like this, seated on the second row. I was enjoying the word. The Lord said, now that car shall go. I said, to where? Is it Kafanchao Market? You know, you just bought a car. You've not even, I've not opened the boots. I've not opened the bonnet. I bought it a day before the conference. So you can imagine you just driving sleekly to a conference. And the Lord said, it shall go. I said, hey. This is why I don't like this kind of meetings. You just be hearing different kind of things from every side. This was when I was still learning this thing. I said, okay, Lord, can I finish the conference? He said, tomorrow. I said, ah. So I picked my phone. There was the guy that bought the car. I said, come and carry the car. It's no more my own. He said, Pastor, what do you mean it's no more your own? I said, it's not my own. Job me of an accident. I don't want to have accident. Come and carry this car from my house. God is my witness. I didn't drive the car home that day. I told him, meet me there now. Come and collect this car. Because if God has put his hand on it, I don't want to be driving on the road. An angel said that they were given permission to go to a meet because the new address is not here. That's why accident happened. He was supposed to be, you know, that's the problem with many people. God has given it a new address. So you are still carrying it everywhere. Angels have deployed. They are obeying faster than you. So he carried the car. God told me the amount to add to it, make it up to a certain amount, and give it. Reverend, I must be very sincere with you. I carried that check for 3 days. You know that kind of seed that you are saying, God, this one, it cannot be missed call. I don't know if you have given that kind of seed where you know that God, see, there are different seeds. That one can go and we don't see the returns. This one, please, Lord. So I was remembering all my Hagin message, Copeland message, trying to check if there's any principle I've missed. I don't want to hear that it's because you forgot this one. I confessed. I danced on my seat. So that anyone that we walk. The day I was giving itself, the person I gave it to must have known that there's a problem here. I said, sir, please pray for me. I left the place and I'll never forget what the Lord said to me. He said, to obey is better than sacrifice. I didn't understand what he meant. Now, hold on. I knew the surface meaning. The Lord said, I'm bringing you to a place in your life where no matter what I demand, it will not be sacrifice. It will be obedience. Oh, you didn't get what I just said. Which means there's a level where he asks me to give a car. It was sacrifice. There's a level he tells me to give a car now. It's not sacrifice. What is there with me giving cars? If the Lord tells me give the car today, I won't think twice. It's not airplane is still sacrifice. Me only.
You have it.
Physically. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you following what I'm saying? I can't carry the airplane and go and give it to Brother Copeland now. I don't have it in the hangar to give him. But I have the car there. There are manifestations I have. At this level, it is not what sacrifice. Is somebody get what I'm saying?
Yes,
it's pure obedience. Guess what? You are going to hear from me very soon. And you'll be hearing me say, you know, there was one time giving an airplane was sacrifice. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
I mean, Kenneth Copeland has given 16 airplanes out. Is it not the womb he came out from? Somebody says it's because he's in America. More churches shut down in America than in Nigeria.
Yes, sir.
More churches shut down in America than Nigeria. It's not your location.
Yes, sir.
It's your faith.
Yes, sir.
So number one, our revelation of what? Ownership. Revelation of ownership. Number two, connected to that, is frank, unfettered speech. By that we mean a confession of faith. Frank, unfettered. Bold confession of faith. You cannot be quiet about who you are and what you have. McCankin said something very powerful. He said, never run towards your giant with your mouth closed. As David was running, he was declaring, today, I will cut your head off your shoulder, give it to the birds of the air. It was not the stone that killed Goliath. It was his words that killed Goliath. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Prior to that time, there's no record that he was using slings. We know he was a skillful man on the harp. There's no record that he was skillful using slings. Guess what? There is no record after that he used slings. So Goliath did not fall because of his skillfulness. No. The words that were coming out of his mouth. You must be bold with your confession. Are you following what I'm saying here? We're talking about how to take. It's not a confession of what will happen. It's a confession of what you have. I am the wealthy in Christ Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying here? A confession of what you have. I don't care what you're going through. Keep your confession.
Yes, sir.
Number three. I'll give you the third one and then we look at the fourth one tomorrow. You learned anything tonight?
Yes, sir.
Is what we call a specific corresponding action. This is important. A specific corresponding action. Please look at me. When you begin to work on this aspect, maybe there's an aspect you are working on. You know what he has made you, but you are not seeing it in your life. You want to become it. You want to give manifestation to that thing. You must always watch out for specific instructions that he will give you. Somebody follow what I'm saying? This is where the work is. Specific instructions. Cast your net to the right side of the ship. Specific instructions. Too many have believed. Not many have obeyed. And I'm not talking about generic obedience. No. As you begin to wait on the Lord and begin to declare these things out of your mouth, let me share one or two testimonies. It will bless you. This is 2024 now, right? 2022 going into 2023. The Lord said to me, he said, I don't want you to give in Naira anymore. Then he gave me the figure he wanted me to give in foreign currency. Physically speaking, Reverend Mrs., if they gave me, I'll go and give testimony at the time. I said, Lord, how do I give this as an offering? Now, to cut the long story short, God bearing me witness, I missed only two Sundays. And I feel like maybe those were the Sundays I didn't gel myself very well. So I would have to believe for those resources every weekend. God told me this is what you must give every weekend in foreign currency. The church did not know. The only human that knew was my wife and possibly my protocol. Because usually I tell him, check my bag, put it in the envelope there, glory to God. One day he said, this is what I said, that's not your business. It's between me and the Lord. You don't need to know what I'm doing. Take the money, put it in the envelope. And every weekend I was doing that. Initially, Reverend, I almost died. In fact, I told my wife, I said, put the house in order. For we shall have to, you just continue. I'm on a journey on this matter. When this thing produces, I'll come back to you people. I thought it was going to take long. God bear me witness. The first miracle was this. Three different persons came to meet me. Now, how many Sundays generally do you have in a month? Four Sundays, sometimes five. Three persons came to meet me and said, God spoke to them that all through...
We hope you've been blessed by this message. To be a part of any of our programs or services, visit our website www.petrascc.org for our different locations and service times. We'll be happy to have you join our online community. Follow us on our social media handle on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Petra Christian Center. You can also reach us via email at correspondent@petrascc.org or call us on 070-173-87222. Petra Christian Center, building Jesus communities globally.